This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now joining us, talk about royalty. This is NFL royalty. The Pro Football Hall of Famer played for the Steelers, the Niners, the Ravens, and the Raiders, a Super Bowl champion as well, the 1993 NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and now does a tremendous job as a broadcaster. We'll be on the call of the Sunday Night Football game this week via Westwood One, as we do have the cold 49ers going up against the Rams, and that, of course, is our good pal Rod Woodson. Rod, thanks for the time. How you been?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Well, always appreciate you coming on. So, instant reaction, Le'Veon Bell going to the Kansas City Chiefs. What say you?
Super Bowl? I mean, I don't know. Like, the rich get richer. You know, it's just, it's so unfair that they have all the speed, right? So they have Tyreek Hill and Hardman. You know, you got one of the best tight ends in Kelsey. We got Watson. You got a solid running game already. And then you add Le'Veon Bell, who's, you know, when he was playing, you know, before all that stuff happened with the Steelers, he was one of the best, if not the best, one of the top two backs, three backs in the National Football League. And, you know, I know Andy has a really good culture. He's going to fit in well there. He's going to eat some really good barbecue, and he's going to catch a lot of football.
How much do you still think he has left in the tank? Because he sat out that 2018 season. Last year he was okay with the Jets, and this year he was clearly frustrated with his coach. Now he's in a perfect situation. Do you expect Le'Veon Bell to go back to being a great player?
Well, you know, he was always a really good player. It just, you know, whatever happened in Pittsburgh, it happened. That offensive line suited him better than going to the Jets. That's why I was a little surprised when he went to the Jets, because everybody in the football world knew how bad their offensive line has struggled in previous years, especially of recent. So for him to be a running back to go behind that line, you know, it's kind of was what didn't make any sense to me. But now he's going on, you know, got a solid offensive line, the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, all the weapons in the world, you know, in a culture that is just, if you think about what Andy Reid has done in his career and how he changed Philly, he goes to Kansas City when nobody wanted that job in Kansas City, and he changes that culture again, and they win the Super Bowl. So I think it's going to be, I think he has a lot of left in his tank. I think Andy's going to use him in the way that he does things extremely well. Talking about Le'Veon Bell, he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He's a very patient runner. It's just another weapon that they have at their arsenal for that offense. And, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is one of those backs that you have to game plan against, because he is a dual threat back. He can catch it coming out of the backfield. He's a bad matchup for linebackers in space. And he can run the ball in between the tackles.
When you look at the duo of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the rookie out of LSU who's been impressive, and Le'Veon Bell, how do you think the two of them will mesh?
Well, they're two different styles, but, you know, obviously the more great players you can have, the better your football team can be. We always talk about culture at times. You know, we see that with Bill Belichick in New England. But when you find great players and players that can just get things done that normally that can't happen, where he can make a 3-yard screen into a 50-yard play or 25-yard play. Those are the type of players that make you look like a really smart coach. And I know Andy understands that. I think, Le'Veon Bell was a very frustrated player in New York. Every player wants to win. But I just think he's in a better place. And I think both those guys, both those running backs, are going to be fine in Kansas City.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Some people are wondering if a Steelers reunion was possible between Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Have you heard anything on that, or do you at least think that the Steelers probably should have done everything in their power to bring him back, or was that just a lot of wishful thinking and a nice storyline from some?
Heck, I was one of those guys wishing. I was hoping that he would think about going back to Pittsburgh, but normally when you leave the way he left, it wasn't like it was a perfect separation. Everything was mutual. There was some animosity on both sides. So it was a long shot. I'm pretty sure as a player, he didn't want to go back there. And the way the Steelers are, especially in the front office, once they make that move to move on, they move on. And so some of the Steeler Nation were probably hoping that Le'Veon Bell would come back to have that running game again. But he's found a really good place in Kansas City. And it's just another nightmare headache that defense coordinators got to deal with when you play against those guys.
And I would imagine too, and you have the player perspective, but I'm just thinking about this out loud. Ego has to factor in because of how ugly it was at the end. Kind of looks like after the failure in New York that you basically be putting your tail in between your legs and crawling back to the team where you were really successful with, right?
I mean, if they would have had that mutual respect for each other when they left, because there was some animosity when it was all over, which normally happens when a player plays his heart out. An organization, and he doesn't feel that the organization gave him the due, and the only way you give a player the due that he deserves is by paying him, and that he deserves. So I think everybody wanted to see it happen, or at least if you're in the Steeler world, you wanted it to happen, because you'd think if there's one weakness to this football team right now, it's the running game for the Steelers. So you would have hoped that he came back, but listen, like I said, there's some really good backs already in Kansas City. There's a lot of good barbecue places in Kansas City. He's going to blend in with a really good football team.
You know what I think it is, Rod? I'll make this comparison with the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell. It's like when you break up with a girl. You may want to get back with her, but sometimes she needs to pick up the phone first and call you and say, baby, come on back, and you don't want to be the one to swallow your pride first to get back into that relationship. I think the Steelers would have had to call him first.
Yeah, especially when she looks really good. she's a looker, and the Steelers are looking good, right? So they're just like Kansas City, but Kansas City comes a calling. So you got a really good girlfriend, and then you got another hot chick that calls you out of the blue, and you're like, okay, I've been with you already. Well, you look really good. I haven't been with you yet. You know what? I'm going to take my shot with you. So I think that's a good comparison.
There's a lot of fishes in the sea. We'll just put it that way. A lot of fishes in the sea. Rod Woodson here with us, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. How about Browns and Steelers this weekend? I'm really excited for this game. Cleveland firing on all cylinders right now. And I know the Steelers haven't been a perfect product so far in terms of the quality of play, but they do have the perfect record being undefeated. What do you like in Browns and Steelers?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Browns, everybody's trying to figure out, is the Browns for real? Are they playing halfway decent? This is a real football team. I think offensively, when you look at them, they're scoring at a high rate. When you look at, they're scoring over 31 points a game for the Browns. I mean, that is, first of all, that's a lot of points in the National Football League, but that's a lot of points for the Cleveland Browns. They're the number one rushing attack in the National Football League. And Baker Mayfield is not killing them in the passing attack, and they're making plays. So we've seen all the trick plays the last couple of weeks, getting their guys open and getting their playmakers the ball. Kevin has found a way to get OBJ the ball in space to let him make plays. He's feeding them the rock so he's not disappointed. You know, their defense is playing extremely good football. It's hard to run the ball against them. And then you look at Pittsburgh, you know, their running attack isn't bad this year. You know, their passing attack hasn't been overly overwhelming because they're not throwing the ball a lot down the field. But I think it's a great matchup. It really is. I think, you know, it's the old rivalry. When I really think about it is when I came in and it was in the Central and the Cleveland Browns were good. You know, the Steelers were not good at that point. The Houston Oilers were good back then. You know, I just think it goes back to that time frame where this is going to be a hard-fought contest. We know Cleveland's going to come in, and if the Steelers can't stop the run, which they struggled a little bit last week, but if they can't stop the run, it can be a long day for them. But Ben has made a big difference for that offense. The defense has been solid like they've had been the last, you know, 5 or 6 years for the Steelers. I think it's going to be a really close game, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson here with us for a few more minutes. We all know what happened last year, Rod, between Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. That's a storyline again, even though Mason Rudolph, the only way he's going to see the game on Sunday is because of an injury to Big Ben, and obviously we don't want that to happen. But Kareem Hunt, I don't know if you saw this. He said this a few days ago. This one's for Myles. This one's for Cleveland. We got his back no matter what. That made me raise an eyebrow because I don't get how you use the Myles Garrett situation as motivation. Your reaction?
I mean, if that's what they, you know, is that what Kareem Hunt has to do to motivate himself and his team, then, you know, so be it. And I'm pretty sure the Steelers don't think that way. So, you know, I don't even know if the rest of the Cleveland Browns organization thinks that way. But, you know, he puts it out there. And that's one thing that's happened today. And I was just talking to my wife about it a little bit ago. Like, it's so funny how all these players in football today, in sports today, feel that they have to say things and have to give you headliner material, bulletin board material going into a contest, where back in the day, we just played ball. I mean, some guys talk, but most of the guys didn't. But most of the guys today feel that they have to speak, they have to say something different. And if that's what motivates the players, if that's what motivates the organization, if that's what motivates each individual player, so be it. But you still got to go play the game, and you still got to play a really good football team in the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are playing really good football at this point.
You know, I agree with you. I don't think that is the way that most of the Cleveland Browns players think. And I get that bulletin board material happens, but this is the oddest bulletin board material I've ever heard, Rod Woodson, just because, like, what is motivation? All right, some guy was stupid last year, took a helmet and smacked it over the head of the opposing team's quarterback. That's supposed to motivate me? Like, how does that get you fired up? Yeah, well, let's go run through a wall for Myles Garrett because of his own stupidity last season.
Well, he's saying he's not using what Myles did. He's using what Mason Rudolph said, or supposed to have said, right? Allegedly said some racist statement. That's what he's using. So, you know, if he's trying to fire his troops up and his base up with that rhetoric, which has not been proven, it's Myles Garrett word versus Mason, then, you know, so be it. But this is two good football teams that are going to play each other. And, you know, the team that doesn't make the team that has the fewest amount of mistakes and the fewest penalty, that's the team that's going to win this game.
And I'll tell you, I don't know what was said and what wasn't said, but someone that I'm going to trust the most here is Mike Tomlin on the situation, because when this resurfaced this year, he went on ESPN right away and vehemently denied what Myles Garrett was claiming, and then also really did back his quarterback, Mason Rudolph. So I think that does speak a lot, because I don't believe if that was true, Tomlin would have done that in such a vehement fashion.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Mike is a outstanding coach. And, you know, the one thing about the Steelers organization, and I'm not saying that stuff like that is not said on the field. It does happen at times. You know, I believe in Mike. I believe in the Steelers organization having good character players. It shouldn't have been brought back up, but it was, by a person who wasn't even involved with it. But if, like I said, if it motivates his players, his teammates, that's a great thing, or should be a great thing. But they still got to go play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are playing really good football. And I'm not going to forget losing to the Cleveland Browns in, you know, early last year. They're not going to forget that. So they have to remember, and Cleveland, I mean, the Steelers understand Cleveland's a good football team. I just don't know if Cleveland has the same respect for the Steelers that the Steelers have for Cleveland.
Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Rod Woodson. Let me get to the game that you're calling on Sunday night. Rams and 49ers. I think the Rams are going to win this game. You know, give me an argument on what the 49ers have to do right now, because they are banged up, and this is a football team that's struggling.
Well, if you want to get like a ray of hope, if you're a 49er fan, right, which is it's hard to find. But if you do want to have one, so you got to think about who the Rams play. The Rams, their opponents are 4-15-1 through the first 5 weeks of the season. So that gives you a ray of hope. You do have a running game. Talking about the 49ers offense, they do have a running game. And the question, more so than anything, is we have all talked about Jimmy G, how he performed. So we know that, you know, he's played a half of football. He did it last week, where he was 7 of 17 for 77 yards and 2 interceptions. So the question is, are we going to get the Jimmy G before he got hurt with the Jets, where he was 14 of 16, 131 yards, 2 touchdowns? Are we going to get the same that we had last week? I think that's where everybody's at. I think if Jimmy G plays really good football, I mean, obviously it's going to be tough to beat the Rams. They're playing really good ball. And we know that the 49ers offensive line has had issues protecting their quarterback this year. And Aaron Donald, if he doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year from his first 5 weeks of playing, man, it's just crazy. If you think you're going to block this guy one-on-one, you can kiss the baby. I mean, he's going to get to the quarterback. And we've seen that even though Alex Smith came in and, and played, he had no mercy for Alex Smith. I mean, it was like the third play, he jumped on his back. And he kind of rolled him down, wrestled him down to the ground. He wasn't thinking about his leg. That's the type of player and a team that they're playing against. This is a really good football team. It's a three-headed monster with the running attack. Cooper Kupp is one of the best slot receivers in the National Football League. I think Robert Woods is one of the most underrated receivers in the league. And, you know, Jared Goff has found his stride again this year, where I think last year he struggled. And defensively, they're a good front. They got a good front. But San Francisco, I have faith in, Kyle Shanahan. I thought even before last week that Miami debacle, I've never seen them play that bad before. And thinking about all the players they've lost throughout the first 4 weeks, they still were 500. They still were 2-2. And most teams will kind of fold when you lose that many players. And they're still in that same mix, especially in the secondary. I mean, the secondary, you still don't have Richard Sherman. You still don't have Williams. You still don't have Mosley. You still don't have Dante Johnson. So, I mean, there's a lot of players still missing on the back end. And I would think that Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Van Johnson, I think they're going to try to exploit those young guys again. I think it's going to be tough for San Francisco to win the game. But if they're going to, they got to run the football. And they got to make sure that they don't give up any deep balls to this offense and try to make them methodically move the ball down the field. I think that's the only opportunity they got to win and also get turnovers.
Sunday at 4:25, we have Rodgers and Brady in Tampa. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, man, that's a good matchup. Say that again. That's a really good matchup. I mean, Rodgers and Brady, if you think about it, and everybody last year was saying Rodgers was finished, right? Oh, he's done. He doesn't look like the same Aaron Rodgers. And that's the sad part, because people don't understand when you're in a system for so long, and then you bring this new young coach in, LaFleur, and he has to learn a new system, new language, He has to learn a new way of a coach telling him what he likes and what he wants from his players and how to play in that system. And he played decently well. He didn't play to the standard of we saying that Aaron Rodgers should play at, that Hall of Fame standard. But this year, his second, like, okay, he's been in the system. He knows the system. And he has done this without his number one receiver in Davante Adams. So when they get all their bells and whistles back, this is going to be a really good matchup. And I think Tom Brady is the same thing. You know, everybody said, hey, Tom doesn't look like Tom after the first game. Then the second game, he looked a little bit better. Third game, he looked a little bit better. Fourth game, he looked a little bit better. Obviously, he had the little four-down debacle last week. But I think it's going to be a really good game. Two solid defenses. To me, this game is going to come down to who can run the football. Whoever can run the football on a consistent basis so they can play action, take some shots down the field, that's the team that's going to get the victory.
He's the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Rod Woodson. Make sure you check him out on Sunday night. Westwood One, Sunday night football between the Rams and the 49ers. Rod, always great to hear your voice. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.